Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another exciting episode of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Ooh, Beef Brothers, yeah. Cold Cuts. Beef Brothers, Cold Cuts. Your beef is cold. Beef Brothers, Cold Cuts.
That's the new theme tune, and thank you very much to Tom for working on it. And thank you very much to all of you for sending in your cold beefs. We've got some great beefs today. If you would like to be involved.
Delicious cold cuts.
So cold they're hot.
Beef. If you would like, they've gone around the other way. If you'd like to be involved in the podcast, then get in touch. BeefBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. And also, of course, don't forget that we haven't used it in this episode, but the hotline is pinging off the hook. So don't forget, folks, if you'd like to, if you'd like to get in touch with the hotline. I'll tell you the number in a second when I find it, but Tom's on borrowed time, so we'll drop the number in.
As is the hotline.
The hotline is
Oh God.
Oh dear, it's not long for this world. But, you know, next episode, look forward to hearing some hotline stuff.
Yeah. It's currently just a line, we should say. We're not allowed to describe it as a hotline anymore.
And the number for the beef hotline is 0208-123-3272. So do give that a call. 0208-123-3272. And you only get 2 minutes to leave your message. So don't get caught out by that. And we'll see you on the next episode with some more hotline fun. We've got a Flatshare Slamdown coming up just around the corner. In fact, it is in 1 week's time. We've got the brilliant guests, Tom Davis and Esther Manito. It's going to be at the Phoenix in Cavendish Square. It's on the 27th of June. Get your tickets now. There's still a handful left, just a handful though. We'd love to see you there. The last one we did with Josh Jones and Sophie Duca was a ton of fun. So we'd love to see you there. And all the details of where to get tickets can be found at pappiescomedy.com/live. That's pappiescomedy.com/live. And we've got an absolutely superb guest today, the brilliant comedian and actor and writer and podcaster, David Earle. What a joy.
When we first met David Earle, he was Brian Gittins on the comedy circuit, which was by far one of the most original comedy acts that we were coming up with at the time. He was incredible as Brian Gittins. And now he's gone on to be, he's made an incredible feature film called Brian and Charles, and it was BAFTA nominated, and it's an incredible piece of work. It's on, I think it's on the, well, you'll be able to find it on the internet. It's streaming and stuff like that now. But yeah, what a treat to have him on board.
Yeah,
and also now he also lives in Exeter and has a podcast about supporting Exeter City, so he's also a local hero now.
And you've done that podcast, haven't you, Tom?
Yeah, and started going to Exeter City Football Club as well. So
lovely.
Yeah. Hope to get on again.
Keep texting him going on. Well, I was there the other day, actually.
I've got some hot takes.
The reason I moved to Exeter. I'm trying to get booked on podcasts.
He's also got a brilliant daily podcast, which he does with Joe Wilkinson, called Chatterbix, which is well worth a listen if you get a chance. But of course, not before you've called the Beef Hotline on 0208-123-3272. And now please enjoy this episode with the fantastic David Earle.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
David Earle, thanks very much for coming and doing the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a total pleasure.
Yeah.
So here's the opening question.
What kind of... Make it sound it then. It's so a pleasure. Right, so
absolute pleasure, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't okay. be more thrilled. Okay,
we'll try and say. I tell you, I've done my take. I've done my my one take on It's a Total Pleasure.
Yeah.
Parry and Clarkie, you've got two more bites of the cherry here, David. Parry yeah. and Clarkie will try and say It's a Total Pleasure and see whether it keeps your appetite whetted enough to stay on for the rest of the pod.
Okay.
Here we go.
You gotta really mean it, not be silly.
It's a total pleasure.
Ooh. Sure. Before you give in, yeah, he wants to hear all three, I think. I can tell David's not going to say, oh, fantastic to Clarkie, because that's not fair on Parry. He's just doing, okay, yeah, that could go either way. It could be good, yeah. It could be bad. It could be, oh, I'm you know, pleasantly surprised. It could be, is that all you got? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Parry, let's hear It's a Total Pleasure.
Total pleasure.
Okay.
I think Tom wins. Sorry, Ben.
Ooh. Lent into it.
I tell you what, it's rare. It's rare that the three of us go up for an acting job and Parry wins it. It's very rare.
The only time that's happened is when it was wrestling.
finally found really my standard acting in the wrestling ring.
True pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Matthew.
There you go. Hey, there you go. No worry.
And now your turn. How does it feel to be on the show?
What, on the show?
Yeah. Does it feel?
It's lovely. It feel? Yeah, oh, it's okay. Lovely.
Yeah, no, that was nice.
That felt genuine, actually. That was good, yeah.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You mean it.
It's lovely. Yeah.
That's giving me a warm glow already.
It's a lovely
and now
feeling.
I realise, yeah. You've taught me a valuable lesson, and unfortunately, you're not going to reap the benefit, but the next guest is going to feel so welcome.
Yeah.
In a fortnight's time, the next guest is not going to feel as neglected as you did when I went, yeah, fine, great, thank you for coming on. Next bit of business. What's on the agenda for today? Okay.
You're basically the DJ from Wayne's World. That's what you've become.
Yeah. I've never seen Wayne's World.
Oh dude.
Everyone reacts like that. Yeah, I've never seen The Simpsons.
Really?
Yeah.
I reckon The Simpsons, probably if you watch the right series. I think it's from about series 5 onwards.
I have seen The Simpsons.
He's seen The Simpsons.
No, I haven't seen The Simpsons.
He hasn't seen The Simpsons.
Well, wait, what? No. I haven't seen it.
This is not a total pleasure.
No, I know. I watched 20 minutes once and thought, this is super, but I never bothered going back.
What? Fair enough. Simpsons?
Yeah.
What do you think, out of all...
Look really annoyed.
Yeah, Tom's really upset because the character of Homer was based on him. Has he lived his life in vain? But so you've watched obviously lots of other TV shows, right? What have you watched all of that you think, I've watched that and yet I haven't watched The Simpsons? There must be a show you think, well, I've seen every episode of that, but I haven't watched The Simpsons.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. I don't watch TV. I really don't. I hunt around forums and...
about TV forums, shows. You're on the Simpsons forums, aren't you?
Yeah.
Very active. Very active on the Simpsons forums.
He moderates a subreddit on the Simpsons. But
my opinions around.
His guilty secret is he doesn't know. He's always having to do a lot of Googling when they go, oh, I think Marge is my favourite character. Oh, yeah. God, which one's that? Is it the little boy with the spiky hair? Let me Google it.
Yeah.
Do the Marge man. So should we fill you in on what Beef Brothers Cold Cuts is, buddy?
Yeah.
Basically, we get listeners to write in with any problems that they have with their flatmates or living arrangements.
Yeah.
And then we have to solve it for them.
Yeah.
You ready for that?
Yeah. I did the live version of this many moons ago.
You did, actually. I think you and Josh Widdicombe did one of the first ever Flatshare Slam Downs.
Yeah, so we've been in this game for 20 years, boys.
I know, this is... they say you play Flatshare Slam Down twice in your career.
Yeah.
A decade apart.
Yeah. But it's the same thing, isn't it?
It's the same, it's Lady Bird. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's just over Zoom.
It's more of the same.
So, obviously, you are you're a married man.
Yeah.
What do you think if your partner had to describe you as a person to live with, How would they describe you?
Up and down.
Up and down.
I am super company when I'm up.
What's an up, David Earl, like?
No, I'm all right. Well, what's an up, David Earl?
Just cuddling up.
We play a game sometimes. I think I mentioned to Joe Wilkinson once. He went, "Oh yeah, yeah, I do that." Where you sort of pretend to get off with like the light switch or the door frame.
What?
That's a lovely bit of business.
Honestly, it's horrible watching someone do that. But that's when I'm up.
That's a good day.
That's a good day. That's good fun.
I'm glad we caught you on a down, really. I'm quite happy that we... For the sake of the pod. So talk us through how this works, right? So will you sort of set this up with your partner? Will you say, "Oh, I'm about to do the game"?
Or do you want a cup of tea? And then so I go to the kitchen and I'm like, "Whoa, fucking hell, look at this." it probably sounds rubbish on paper.
Is she in the kitchen with you though?
No, she's on the sofa. She'll do it. She'll deny that she does it. She does it.
Yeah. And is that the only way of knowing that you're in a good mood? That's what she's waiting for. To be like, "Oh, phew."
Yeah, it means I'm feeling sort of happy-go-lucky and up for a laugh.
Yeah.
And if you come
down the stairs and you're not humping the teapot, she thinks I'm in for a long day.
Oh, dear. Yeah, stay away from me. Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair enough.
Fair comment.
Yeah. I think that proves beyond reasonable doubt that you're ready to be solving other people's beefs.
Yeah.
You know, a very balanced home life. A little bit of up, a little bit of down.
We all play funny home games, don't we? Funny home games.
You have to. How does the down manifest itself if it's not too bleak?
Just getting off with plug sockets.
Yeah. Don't know, really, just moaning, not much fun to be around.
Yeah, I'm looking around at all the appliances thinking, I don't fancy any of these things. Loss, a tremendous loss of libido for white goods.
It's not that I'm up but I feel sexually attracted, I'm just up for a bloody good laugh.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, whatever you say.
But never take that man to a Curry's.
Should we do the first beef? Tom, do you want to read the one from Andy?
Would love to, yeah. Fossil beef from Andy via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Get in touch, please. Hi, Pappies. I am literally standing in the sunshine on the beautiful Jurassic coast with my wife and two sons. I went to the nearby shop to buy a fossil to plant on the beach for my five-year-old to find, knowing he would be super excited. Unfortunately, the plan did not work out as planned. Instead of my enthusiastic, naive five-year-old finding it, my enthusiastic, naive, 35-year-old wife found it. She could not have been happier. I can't think of a time when I've seen her face light up that much, bearing in mind we have two kids together. The reason for my correspondence is thus. She wants to take the fossil to the fossil centre nearby to show off. No doubt, they will identify that it didn't come from this beach and make her appear foolish. I'm trying to discourage her, but I'm seriously worried about what's going to happen. Surely I can't shit on her experience of finding her very first fossil. This will all be over in a matter of an hour or two. But please, please tell me what I should have done. Thanks, Andy.
Wow. It's rare that we get a beef where he's like, "It's too late for me, but for the people of the future, what should we do?"
Yeah, when you inevitably get in this exact same situation.
Exactly, yeah.
What this correspondence has made me realise is we need to set up an emergency hotline. We need like a 999 real time equivalent where we can we should be there for Andy live.
Because you know we've got a hotline, Tom.
We do
set up.
We do.
Which the next episode is going to be the launch of the hotline. But I don't take the calls in real time. I just let them go to answer machine when I'm doing my work, and they pop up on my Skype. It's very odd getting a Skype call in the middle of the day. It feels like you're getting a call from the past. But we're not here to discuss the hotline that I've set up and I'm very proud of. We're here to discuss Andy's problem. Now, obviously, David, you've said you're someone who likes to play a little bit of like to have a bit of fun at home. Do you think you're the sort of person that would plant fossils?
Or would you just get off with it?
I was thinking the opening scene of Jurassic Park.
I was thinking if I'd done that, I just would have said, no, I bought it.
Right, yeah.
Yes. I think
I wouldn't be emailing shows about it. I know, I would have just said, I found this. Oh, I bought that for. Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh. Well, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, but what it feels like is if you hesitate,
right. Yeah.
If you don't do that in the moment, you hesitate for just a minute and go, yeah. And he hesitated. Yeah. Then you're in it.
This doesn't remind me, but hesitation reminds me of when I had a friend of mine. I was on the phone to him, and he was offloading about his personal life, about his son. I can't go into details, but it meant a lot to him, and he was having troubles with his teenage son, and I zoned out. As I sort of came back, it was like 3 seconds, but as I came back into the conversation, he said, so what do you think he did? And I obviously hadn't heard any. I went, oh mate, I don't know. He said, well, you know him. What do you think he did? I said, oh, don't know, tell me. He said, no, I'm not telling you. What do you think he did?
Honestly, it went on for ages.
No.
Because Andy's in this situation, because what you should have done there is gone, you can't say, I'm sorry, I zoned out. You can't say that. Of course you can't say, sorry, I zoned out. But you can say, mate, I'm so sorry, the phone went, we got a little crackle on the phone or something, you know, like, yeah. I don't know what's
going on. I could have done that. That's good.
But again, that's you. He's asking you a question, you think, well, just bat the back question straight back.
Yeah, no, sorry.
What did you do in the end?
How much back and forth? Yeah, how much tennis
Honestly, that was like a fragment of how much of the... Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Well, just tell me. What do you think he did? Yeah. You're right, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So we've got ourselves in a situation here where Andy has said...
He's hesitated.
Basically, we're talking about hesitation. And the problem is here, we can't say, well, don't hesitate in the future.
Yeah.
Because that's not what it's about, is it?
By the sounds of it, her reaction was so big, it took him back. He was so taken aback that would have created that pause.
How is the wife not in on this scheme?
I thought that.
How have you not come up with a scheme like that and gone, this is what we're going to do?
I thought that.
That's true.
Because you've come up with a great scheme there. That's a good dad scheme.
Yeah.
I guess Andy, he wants it to be a surprise for her as well, so it's like a fun thing for everyone.
It's more fun for her, right?
I'm with Tom here, actually. I've just been playing that out.
Play that out. It's less fun.
Yeah.
The most dad points you're getting is you're taking her to one side and going, look, I'm doing this thing. And she's going to go, oh my God, I've got a good one here. And she'll be telling her friends, he's such a good dad. You know, like, all this is playing out for him. All he had to do was share then. Whereas... If he waits for the kid to find it, the kid and the wife's excited, the wife's happy, the kid's found it, and then you go, actually, that was me. No, that's not as good.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Because I operate that kind of system at home. I can't do anything in the house without first announcing I'm about to do it. You know, even if it's the washing up, you know, just something crap like that. I have to make a big, guys, I'm off to tidy the kitchen.
Yeah,
you know, like, so I think I wouldn't be able to contain myself. And you're right,
I have to do that for safety reasons because of my physical health. I have to say, I'm about to attempt the stairs, guys, just in case they hear
a
loud noise.
Have you got the red thing hanging around your neck that you can press to call the emergency services?
I'll be in the bathroom till I get out of the shower in about 10 minutes, so just be ready.
Guys, I'm just off to get off with the toaster, okay? So
Yeah. I still think it's not that big a deal. I shouldn't be thinking this way, should I?
We don't want to listen. We don't want to dictate. The reason we've got you on is to think differently.
Get over it, Andy.
But listen, if all your responses are going to be "don't email into the show about it," then that is going to harm.
No,
our product.
As a fellow podcaster, you must know there's going to be a bit of back and forth. There's going to be a bit
just really
and forth,
trying to be honest then and go, come on, it's a fossil from a shop. Come on. Let's move on.
He didn't do that. That's the problem, is he didn't do that. Now,
no.
He's been trapped in a lie.
Is it a good trick to do regardless, is my question. Is that going to be one of those things that when you grow up as a child, you're going to be like, because you'll believe that's a fossil that you found on the beach?
It's me going into school.
On the Jurassic Coast, though, right? Yeah. On the Jurassic Coast, it's a believable lie, right?
Going into school as an 8-year-old and telling my class I was given a full-size snooker table for Christmas.
You did that?
Yeah, because my dad had bought me a tabletop-sized snooker table, but because it had 6 pockets on it, he told me it was full size. It's that, isn't it?
Yeah,
because it's cool to have a full size snooker table, but you feel like a right knob when your teacher's like, "Where'd you put that?" And I'm like, "On the kitchen table." And
you're like, they're like, oh. "It's a full size kitchen table." I should say that.
It's a huge fucking kitchen table.
The only way you can pass the salt is by popping it across the table.
Yeah, but again, you didn't have a full-size kitchen table. He does have a fossil, right?
Am I too late to say big breakfast?
We'll drop it in earlier.
Can you edit in big breakfast?
We'll drop it into the intro. It won't make any sense.
I know what Andy's got to do. He's got to continue further down. He's got to now hire an actor and he's got to make up a new location for the fossil centre. Like, he's got to call up a mate and go, stick a white coat on, get to the garage.
Dress as Dickie Attenborough.
Me and my family are going to be here in 20 minutes and you've got to pretend to be the fossil centre guy. Basically, his whole life is from this point on is carrying on this lie.
He's got a basically sort of Truman Show for the rest of his life, just around this fossil.
And his mate's going to be like, "Oh my god, that's the best fossil we've ever found. You need to meet the minister for fossils or some shit." And then suddenly he's hiring a house. He's on Airbnb for central London. He's got to put on some kind of reception, and it's all like, this is going to grow and grow. But it's the only. I think it's the only. You've got to double down.
Otherwise,
let's look at the reality here. What he's facing is a key moment where his wife is never going to be able to trust him again,
because he's a good dad. I think you could say, look,
good dad, bad husband. My book.
I don't think he's a bad husband. I think as they're walking up to the fossil thing, he's got to go like, "Oh, listen, I've got to tell you. It was gonna be look. It's a. I've just. I was actually doing it for the kids, but you found it, and you know.
First question. Why did you wait for us to walk up to the fossil centre to tell me this, Andy?
Because you looked so excited.
You got me all the way to the fossil centre.
You were really excited. You were halfway to the fossil centre before I could shout after you. It's for the little un. You know, it's a 15-minute bus journey.
Do you know? There's the bit in the story where he said that his wife wanted to take it to the fossil. That is really unattractive.
Listen, sorry, mate.
Wait, hang
we
on
know
a second.
You're not up at the moment, but can you try at least channel a bit of your email?
You've already slagged
a family
for emailing. Yeah.
I just imagine if Naomi said, "Oh, I really want to go to the fossil centre with this." And what?
And it wasn't a euphemism.
What are you talking about? You want to go to the fossil centre? That's really unattractive.
Is your advice divorce your wife?
I don't think it might be.
We can't give this advice. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I'm going to have to intervene here and play like. It's not even good cop, bad cop. I've just got to play like rational human being here against rational human being David Earl. That's the two sides.
I just can't imagine sort of pootling around the county trying to find the fossil centre just for. That's not happening.
You're on the Jurassic Coast. It's going to be fairly close by, right?
Yeah.
You know, okay. It's not like...
We'll pop it.
All right. What sort of activities are you taking your kids to do if it's not stuff like the Fossil Centre?
No, but he's taking his wife.
That's true. Yeah, but he's also got his kids with him as well. No, it's there are kids there as well. So it's still a family day out.
The kids are enthusiastic about it. I feel like it's all about her, this, and... Yeah, I find it quite annoying.
I mean, he does say she wants to take the fossil to the fossil centre nearby to show off. He does say that.
Mm. Yeah, but I mean, if it's a good fossil,
he's got another choice. He's got to drop the fossil, hasn't he?
Parrot. Like,
he's got to drop the fossil. He's got to go. Oh my god! Yeah, let's go to the fossil centre. Achoo! Oh god! Oh. I'm so sorry. I've dropped the fossil, and now he's gone from being hero dad to klutz dad.
Yeah,
and he's got to take the hit.
But what you're hoping is that he drops it with such force that it smashes into dust, as opposed to just has a bit of a hairline crack down it. How hard is he dropping it? What's he going to do? Oh, let's just go up to Beachy Head. And, oh, no, I've dropped it. Like, I mean, you know, I don't think there's...
He could lose the fossil. I put it just here by the bin. Oh, no.
It was by the bin bag in the bin.
And I put out... And there was all those other pebbles there that I put out... Ah, it's gone.
Yeah,
he's got to cover himself. I don't think there's a route back. Otherwise, there is genuinely going to be a moment where she's going to look at him like, "I can never trust you again." It's gone.
You think this is the end?
Keep going back to this.
Yeah,
I'm the one who's looking at the email. She could not have been happier. Is all in capitals. My enthusiastic, that changes it. My enthusiastic, naive 35-year-old wife found it. She could not have been happier, capital letters. I can't think of a time that I've seen her face light up that much.
I don't buy that. that's a pod email. I'm not having that.
Do you think Andy's never given? Because it seems that Andy's a fun guy.
Are you not having questioning? You think this is AI or something?
No.
This guy was he is literally standing. This is he contacted us as it was happening. That is mad. It is a mad episode to think that he did stop and email us as it was all unfolding.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
We've got to find... Andy's got to get back in touch and tell us how it played out.
Yeah, totally.
Andy, I've got to ask you, please call the hotline, mate.
Yeah.
Call the hotline.
Are you still together?
And leave us a message. I can't Crosby. For the life of me remember the number as we speak, but I'm sure it'll come to me later on.
Crosby, be honest. Did you write this email in order to mention the hotline?
I am Je suis Andy.
In many ways, this email is a fossil and you're Andy and you've hidden it for us to find.
Yeah.
Oh. I get it now. I get it.
Sorry,
Clarky,
guys.
What's your solution?
I would say... I'd say just go with it. Go to the fossil centre, see what they say.
Oh, yeah, and when the fossil expert says, this can't have come off that beach, punch him in the mouth and say, are you questioning my wife?
She found that on the beach, man.
Call yourself a fossil expert, you say that again. Then you walk out and she's like, oh my God, that's a dad. What a good dad.
Mm.
What a good husband, and you're back in the good books.
Good, violent man.
Yeah, good, strong, violent man.
Puts me in mind of a T-Rex. You know, he's got that sort of vibe to him.
And then you go, let's try a different coast. This place is fucking dead anyway.
Yeah. Let's find a younger coast.
Jurassic Coast fucking blows, man. Come on, kids. Let's go. And genuinely then your wife's like, oh my God, this guy. Yeah. Fucking great.
It's like the end of Greece.
Oh yeah, fly off. And then the car has to fly off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah. Perfect.
I don't mind that.
I thought that was
We've got some really good options here. We've got good advice.
Lots of good advice. I would say, Andy, probably steer yourself away, if it was down to me, away from the kind of, your wife is unattractive and pathetic and divorce her. Very much the opinions of our guests, not so much the opinions of the podcast as a whole. But you're your own man, Andy, and you can cherry pick whichever of the bits of advice that have resonated with you. All right, that's the joy of Beef Brothers Cold Cuts here. You don't need to necessarily go, well, David's word is gospel in this instance.
And we've recorded that response, and Matthew will be playing it as a disclaimer after every message.
Yes. I'll also be playing Big Breakfast as well. Beef solved.
Big Breakfast.
Beef from the sorting out your beef. Beef solved.
Dearest Beef Bros, long-time listener, first-time beefer here. Your help is required in dealing with my delinquent brother-in-law, open brackets, let's call him Oswald, close brackets. He won't pay for a thing, and it's driving the house fucking wild.
I like the use of driving us fucking wild in the negative sense, because normally you think, yeah, this is driving us. I imagine it's, you know, like the latest dance craze or something, but not just a tight brother-in-law.
Now, we don't actually live together, but every house in my family is infected by tales of woe regarding Oswald's legendary tightness. Every single family member has been ripped off. He won't pay for his way for family presents. Small loans go unpaid. He magically never has money to split a restaurant bill. It goes on and on and on. The worst part is that he's loaded. He owns his own flat outright, and there's serious dough in the bank. His tight-fisted nature seems to be just ingrained. The crucial point here is he can pay, but we all know he won't pay. We could perhaps put up with this, but now family friends have started making jokes at Oswald's expense. How, as a family, can we put a halt to this terrible behaviour? Yours, Terrace Thomas, names changed to protect the innocent. Okay.
How are you what you like with money? Do you chuck it around like it's going out of fashion?
No.
Hold on to the purse strings?
Bury it on the beach so your wife can find it?
I'm trying to teach myself to be like Danny Baker.
Yes. I love Danny Baker's attitude to money. Yeah. I think about it all the time, but I can't do it. Really hard to do it.
And Catherine Ryan.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing about Catherine Ryan, certainly, she's making a lot of money. She's got money to chuck
super
around.
Super amount of money.
She's making a ton of money.
Yeah.
We know what she's got from Bad Old Series 2.
I don't. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Is it the same rule, Danny Baker and Catherine Ryan?
It's basically how
money spend it.
Yeah, it's being unemotional towards money. It's just like, yeah, spend it, I'll just make some more.
Yeah.
That's the tricky bit, isn't it? It's that second bit.
I'm trying to be Mr. Cool with money. The last year, yeah.
What have been your big spends that you're not thinking about? You know, just totally chill about. What have you?
Post-it notes.
What have you bought? He's got the post-it notes on the back of the wall, of course.
They're receipts.
Want to do a weekend in a treehouse?
Weekend in a treehouse.
Yeah, we haven't paid for it yet. I'm just saying we're thinking about
the weekend in a tree. Is this one of those like safari type treehouses where there's like
where you feel like you're in Hobbiton?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you done that?
No, but I, you know what? A friend of mine did it and said, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Only do it for 3 nights. And I looked up how much it was for 3 nights and so I shat myself.
800-900 quid or something.
Oh, I was looking at a different place, but it was more than a bigger tree.
David just say he's built a treehouse. That's what he's done.
I've been Mr. Tight the last 10 years because about 15 years ago I remember going to the co-op and going to pay for whatever it was can of drink. I no money. Went, oh, fuck, sorry, I've got no. And then I used my card. I had no money in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 12 or 13 years ago, and it really scared me. So since then, I've been Mr. Tight.
Trios.
Yeah, it's not a bad attitude to have.
I mean, well, Mr. Tight.
Yeah.
So now you're Mr. Trios, yeah. I think there's a bit in between, isn't there, right?
Yeah.
Surely. Yeah.
I think a bit frugal in your kind of personal life, but then when you go out with people, you can be a bit more magnanimous.
Earn a tenner, save a fiver.
Hello.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what you are. Earn a tenner, save a fiver.
Well, that
and then you get tax £4. You've got £1.
Spend a pound.
It's all right, isn't it?
On a pop, can of pop from the co-op.
Yeah. Super little thing to say to a child, though. They go, oh, I'll stall that.
I mean, yeah, how long till they're earning tenners, though? It's a long way away.
Well, you say that, but my boys have just started losing teeth. And when they lost their first tooth, I went, oh, I'll stick a tenner under there.
No! What? Oh, my God. A tenner.
And now I'm really
bloody
regretting
hell.
It.
That's,
yeah.
I think even Danny Baker would balk at that.
Honestly, I'm really worried now because I've...
Mate.
Because I don't want to be that sort of... I just thought, oh, I'll put a tenner in there. You could have got get some Lego. Now it's like, oh, I've got another one coming out now.
You're going to be...
Yeah. I'd be smashing my friend's teeth out at school. And
exactly. You sound like a prat, don't you, at school? If the tooth fairy's leaving tenners.
Tenners?
His dad's doing well.
Yeah, you've absolutely set yourself up.
How many teeth in a mouth?
It's got to be 20, right? Isn't it 20? 24?
David, I hate to tell you this. There's 500. There's 500. you're in deep, mate.
I'm just Googling how many teeth does a child have? Okay, here we go. The average child has their full set of 20 primary teeth by the age of 3 years. You had £200 to pay on these teeth. How many kids you got?
Two. Well, two little ones.
That's £400.
£400.
And that's not reflecting
bad,
inflation,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's 400. That's half a treehouse. That is. That's half a stay in the treehouse.
That is. That's not in a treehouse.
That's not in a half. Yeah.
So actually, you need to change your phrase to earn a tenner, spend a tenner.
Earn a tenner, tuck the tenner under the pillow. Yeah.
So they're going to have a piggy bank. Because I mean, they're not going to be spending it. Really, they'll spend it a bit, but they won't be spending it at the rate
too much to spend.
Exactly, too much. They're going to be richer than you. They're going you're going to be back to yourself 12 years ago. Go to the co-op to get a can of pop. You can't afford it. You have to go back home, smash open their piggy bank.
Yeah, I know. I just thought in the moment I was like, oh, they can get some Lego, and now I'm like, oh no, that's a terrible decision.
So here's a question: How much do they believe that it? Do they know it's you, or do they believe in a tooth fairy? Could you get away with blaming the tooth fairy?
Oh, you could. In fact, we've started saying you don't know what the tooth fairy's going to leave, so don't say you're going to get a tenner. Yeah,
just a fiver this time, that fucking tooth fairy, man.
Just keep, anytime there's stuff about the cost of living crisis on the news, just say, come and watch this, guys. I think this probably affects everybody, including the tooth fairy.
Yeah.
You know,
and then go to the tooth centre and punch the tooth fairy in the mouth and just go, you don't need my fucking kids. And they'll be like, oh, what a great dad.
Yeah.
Are your kids the kind of kids that would be impressed by the tooth fairy leaving presents that were equivalent to the worth of about £2 or £3 but are quite exciting?
Do you know what's annoying? Is that they're appreciative in anything. I could put a leaf under the pillow and then...
you just got caught in that moment, man.
Can you put a leaf with, like, I owe you £10 on it? No, because you're still going to owe £10.
Just put a leaf, man. We've solved it. Beef solved. Wait, was that the beef?
Yeah.
Bed of leaves, beef solved.
Yeah.
What are we saying about Oswald, though? Because this doesn't help us out.
I genuinely forgot what it was.
He's got loads of money and he's a tight.
Oh, yes, that's it, the tight brother-in-law.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No, I hate that. Particularly when they're loaded. Oh, that's horrible. What a horrible personality trait.
This is how rich people stay rich, isn't it? by basically being a little bit selfish about it and hanging on to that money.
I remember working for a guy who was a multimillionaire, and I was his gardener, and he owed me like 600 quid for the month or whatever. Was it? And anyway, it turned out he was waiting. He gave me some money and he waited for me to give him five for change.
No.
Oh. So, come on, mate. I work my arse off around your garden.
I hate. So that was, he wasn't even like, oh, you can take it as a tip.
No, he said, come on, give me this five. And I thought, like you said, that's how this guy's got money.
Yeah. He's looking after every single, you know.
Yeah.
He's not earning a tenner, spending a fiver.
No, he's not.
When we first moved to London, me and Marco were buying a sofa, and we found this one that was like, I don't know what it was like 400 quid or something. And we thought, could we stretch to that? We went round this guy's house. I know, it was on for about 150 quid, sorry. We were in this guy's house, and he had like fucking two front rooms. We walked through both of his front rooms. It was this fucking huge house. And we got there and we were like, mate, would you accept 100 quid? And he was like, he haggled us all the way, like haggled us, kept on haggling till we got to about 130 quid. And we ended up giving 130 quid, and he just went, that'll pay for the takeaway. Yeah. Right, cheers, boys. You just go like, what are you that for? You can't. We're broke. You got two front rooms. Yeah. These are the people.
I say let the family like continue with their
the jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to make more of those jokes. You've got to the people making the jokes.
Ramp it up.
Yeah.
Shame him through humour.
I mean,
is there a way of robbing him? I mean, is there a way of nicking his cash? You know, he must keep it somewhere, probably, you know, in a mattress or something like that, or, you know, a pillowcase in his cupboard. You've got to have a few gold bars knocking around. I reckon you go in under cover of darkness, you tie him up, you threaten him a bit, you know, obviously you're wearing masks, but he doesn't know who you are, you've got voice changes and all this kind of stuff, and you say, where's the bloody cash, Oswald? Where's the bloody cash? And then, you know, just fleece him.
Yeah.
I think you've got to really scare him as well, so he doesn't go to the Rosses.
I was going to go for a bit lighter than that, was three ghosts him.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
It still involved breaking into his house and using masks.
Oh, yeah.
But you kind of, you Scrooge him.
You would do what?
Scrooge him.
Christmas Carol him.
Yeah.
You mend your ways ghosts. Him.
You're his brother. You know about his growth. You know about him growing up. You know. You know enough details.
Brother-in-law here. Brother-in-law. So it's not. But yeah, someone's got to have the skinny on him, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Must know the details.
It's a bit like a This Is Your Life, isn't it? The three ghosts element. So you kind of This Is Your Life in, but, you know, through the night. I don't know if that'd change things, actually. That'll say it out loud.
Because This Is Your Life
is your life in through the night.
I think This Is Your Life was quite a nice thing, wasn't it? It wasn't a surprise ambush where they then tortured somebody and talked about all the worst bits of their personality.
No, don't you remember? He used to come out with a big red book and then show them their grave.
Like Gillian McKeith would do. This is your life, and if you keep living your life the way you are, then you're going to die, mate, and no one's going to come to your funeral.
Yeah.
Not to mention Tiny Tim.
Why do you think someone's like that? They've got lots of money. How would you be like that?
It's got to come. It's got to be something that's been sort of. I think all of our attitudes, especially to money, are the situation you grew up in. So he's either lived with someone who is incredibly skinflinty and wouldn't spend any money. He's just like, well, that's the way to live. You know, his parents or guardians were like that. Or they've been chucking money around and he's seen, you know, their fortune. He's, you know, like, maybe he's the kind of family they were hiding from the bailiffs, that kind of thing. Maybe they were down the co-op, trying to scrabble together enough coins to buy a can of pop. And he's thinking, never again. I'm never going to
happen
again.
I'm on his side now.
Yeah. It's you know, he maybe just had a really tough upbringing that's created this attitude to cash, and he can't help it. It's not his fault.
No.
You know, and you know, we don't know what he's doing. You know, we don't know what his immediate family, maybe they're reaping the benefits. Maybe he's going, well, look, why should I be giving Aunt Bessie a present. You know, I want my kids to have a really nice Christmas. Why do I have to be, you know? Mm. Maybe he's done, maybe he's been dragged a lot. Maybe you're an awful family, Terrence Thomas. Maybe he's been dragged along.
You were talking about tying him up and robbing him a second.
Little bit of balance here. Maybe Terrence Thomas here is somebody who's, you know, like he goes along to the dinners, he has to listen to their boring stories and all their terrible jokes at his expense. He thinks, actually, sorry, I've just sat here while you take the piss out of me for not, you know, for not paying for the Uber. You know, actually,
I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to not pay for the Uber.
If that's how you take it, then I'm not going to pay for the dinner either. I mean, who knows? I'm just giving you a little bit of, you know, point counterpoint. I don't know.
Love to get. Wouldn't it be great to have him on now just to say, why'd you do it? Oh, I'd love that.
It'd be great.
That would give this podcast a bit more teeth, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, actually, we've got your brother-in-law here now.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to him?
Terrence Thomas, give us Oswald's details and we'll get him on the hotline.
That's Jerry Springer. Is that Jerry Springer? That's Jerry Springer, isn't it?
Kind of, it's not far off, is it?
Yeah.
It's Jerry Springer. You've got a Jerry Springer on your hands here, boys.
We've got a Springer this. Since Springer's sadly passed away, someone has got to pick up the mantle and run with it. And it's got to be us.
Imagine watching them on Zoom having a little go at one another.
I'd love to see a Zoom ding dong between Terrence Thomas and Oswald.
And the Oswalds.
Of course, it's running out after 40 minutes because Oswald's not paying for the. He's not paying for the Zoom, is he?
He's not on the cheap.
No.
You're getting an email from him saying, can you set up another one?
There's a chance someone will listen to this and think, oh, fucking hell, is that me?
Yeah, that's what... Yeah.
Like, someone's going to be thinking... I'm not saying it'll be the Oswald, but there's going to be someone listening who's a bit tight with their family and does those sort of things and suddenly thinks, have I been ratted out here?
Get in touch. If you've been affected by any of the issues you've heard today, get in touch, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Are you tight? We'd love to hear from you.
Or call the hotline.
If you're tight, call the hotline. If you're tight, tell us why. Why are you so tight? You know, how does it make you feel? Because it might make these people feel amazing. They might go home and go, well, that's it, I got a free dinner there. But it might make people feel awful and think, oh, I should have put my hand in my pocket, but I hesitated.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and you have to be rich as well.
Are you rich and tight? Also, by the way, we'd love to hear from someone who's rich and wants to chuck some money around. In fact, actually, fuck the original thing. Are you rich and tight? Yeah. Are you rich and want to throw a bit of money around?
Basically,
patreon.com/
are you Catherine Ryan? Do you remember us? Chuck a bit of money our way, darling.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Big breakfast.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Problem with my neighbour beef. From Anonymous via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Please do get in touch. Dear Pappies, I hope you will consider my beef. Though I live alone, the intimacy of a Victorian terraced street is basically like having flatmates. You can't threaten with eviction when they have parties, dump rubbish, or have extremely loud sex at 7 a.m. 7 a.m. Jeepers creepers. What a world. Yeah, I have a problem.
That's the school run.
What? He's got the energy. Time.
7 a.m. Come on.
Hang on. Oof. Sorry. Go on. What was that?
Well, Parry, you'll never guess what you're doing. You're never going to guess. Go on.
Come on. They're doing something during the school run.
No.
They haven't neighbour has sex at 7 a.m.
More loudly, extremely loudly. But that's not even the beef. The beef's coming up, Tom. So
we'll factor that in.
Tune in.
Okay, I'm in.
I have a problem, which is the antithesis of the beef that a listener sent in about an unattractive sunbathing neighbour. Whoa. My issue is that my frequently speedoed neighbour is too attractive.
Oh, it makes the over...
yeah. It makes the over-the-garden-wall conversations with his partner, who I'm becoming genuine friends with, slightly awkward as I hastily avert my gaze, and I fear my appreciation for his all-weather bronzing habits will not escape the notice of my partner when he moves in a few months.
I can't believe Lynn and Paul have betrayed me like this. Number five.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You are looking beautiful.
Saying she likes the look of her neighbour and her boyfriend's moving in with her?
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate stuff like this.
Go on, David. Why do you hate this?
I just hate knowing that not my wife, but all our wives are looking at other men.
What?
Why do you hate that? Because you're
looking at other men's bodies.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's all right.
You're not a saint. You're not a little choir boy, are you? With a halo above your head.
You're always looking at the kettle going, off. I'll have a bit of that.
It makes me feel vulnerable.
Yeah, there you go.
I get that. Well, what about fighting fire with fire? Getting yourself out, David, with a little Speedo on. You've got a body under that T-shirt. Get yourself out in the garden, pop your Speedo on, and, you know...
If your partner, if there's a lovely looking guy next door and he's walking around, she goes, oh, okay. She's looking, you look at her, she goes, oh, are you not going, oh, what's going on?
do you not, I mean, it doesn't say.
Ben likes it.
Anonymous isn't. He's thinking maybe the neighbour can hop over the fence.
Oh, look at this upside down pineapple.
We went on a trip, and the guy who ran the Airbnb, when he met us to show us his flat, I could tell my wife thought he was fit, and it really took the edge off the holiday for me. I'm staying in this guy's flat.
It ruined the treehouse for you.
He cut the treehouse down.
Watching him go down that rope ladder.
The lumberjack. Do you ever say to your wife, she's fit?
No. Should I?
No.
If you loved her, you would.
Total honesty, David. That's what Tom is preaching here. Total honesty.
No.
We moved to this little cottage in Sussex like a few years ago, and our neighbours were like the local farmer and his wife, and they invited us round for dinner. We'd only been there like 2 weeks. They invited us round for dinner, so knocked on the door, and they answered. They went, oh, come in. And I sort of leant in. I don't know why. I don't know what I was doing, but I leant in to sort of kiss the farmer's wife. And we both went the same way and just on the lips.
Mate, you've got a problem.
Right on the smacker.
And this is your like second ever meeting.
What a start.
Honestly,
meeting's the invite, the second meeting's full on snog.
And weirdly, I played cricket with the farmer like that summer and saw his knob and balls. I saw everything and did everything within 12 weeks.
What happened during this cricket game?
Is that what silly mid-off means?
Yeah.
Did he mind you kissing his wife?
Well, it was a moment where...
Did he show his cock and balls angrily and go, look...
You haven't got a bit chance, sensitive mate. About my Check life. These out.
She's getting steak at home, mate.
It's really weird, like, not knowing one another and yet kissing each other on the lips. It's just a weird little moment.
What you've been to there is a very primitive form of sex party, haven't you, really?
Yeah.
There's a sex now, there's
sort of thrill.
There's a sex party cottage just up the road.
Is there? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I only live down the road from you. What's the party?
No, seriously. So I was coming back on the train from London to here, and we were going part. We were just between Exeter and Totnes, and the guard stopped, sort of started chatting to me and showed me fucking photos of Henning Vane, weirdly. But he went, just over that hill is a swingers' cottage. And really well known in South Devon. So me and my wife did loads of research and
yeah.
And we drove.
Drove up, knocked on the door.
You got to the door.
We drove,
and,
we found it on a Sunday with the kids in the back.
Dad, can we please go to the fossil museum? No, kids. We're going to the fuck house, all right?
That's the kind
now,
of
enjoy your
£10.
We'll be back to the car in half an hour.
We did. We drove past the fuck house. The children were none the wiser.
We're going to Knob Cottage. You can do whatever you like.
Good to know, Totnes.
Well, no, I can tell you, I'll email you.
Yeah.
Do a WhatsApp.
We'll pop it in the show notes for the show. Don't worry about that.
Drop it in the show notes.
I tell you what, it's very rare we can get to do an actual proper tease for the Patreon, but if you subscribe to the Patreon, we'll do it in the bonus beat,
all right? And we'll
give you the coordinates of the Knob Cottage in the in this week's Patreon episode. So don't forget patreon.com/pappiesflatshare.
What tier have you signed up to on the podcast Patreon? I do £8 a month because they give me all these fuck cottage addresses.
For £8 a month, you send us your address and we'll tell you where the nearest knocking shop is.
I joined a swingers website off the back of that.
Did you?
Well, yeah. Off the back of kissing the farmer's wife.
No, off the back of that village. off the back of the sex house. Another little story. Cracking little anecdotes tonight.
Yeah.
Great.
This is it's like David Earl late.
I put in Exeter for swingers couples just to see if I knew anyone. And some. No. No, it was. It was a male escorts.
And Parry popped up.
Someone I knew on,
he popped
came
up all right.
on the male escorts.
Whoa.
And bleep this out.
Wozniak. Yeah, go on, we'll bleep it out.
Please bleep this out. Please.
Can you bleep out all the words apart from Wozniak?
Well, there we go.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, more power to him. You know, why not?
Yeah, you haven't seen him, mate. He looks fucking gross.
Well, some people like fucking gross. And we're lucky those people exist.
Yeah, he's like £250 a night. Ridiculous.
How much was it?
Oh, it was loads, honestly. Loads of money to have him for the night.
He does it up a treehouse, doesn't he? So, you know, you're paying for the view.
Well, he gets you to the tree trunk, at least. You can look up.
Yeah.
Do you think it's in your future, the swinging scene in the Southwest?
No, I can't imagine. Can't imagine making that decision and going, yeah, I'm all right with this. No. And just... When I let her look at the bedrooms in the cottage, because the cottage is online, so you can have a look at the the four-poster beds, and I was like, nah, I don't want to be part of that scene.
You've done the virtual tour of the fuck house.
You looked up on Zoopla.
I can send you the link, and you can have a little nose.
It's all right, thanks. So what's your advice, David, to our friend Anonymous, who's got this very attractive neighbour who they can't stop gawping at over the fence, speedos year round, and they're worried about their partner moving in very soon? What's the advice? What do you say?
Oh, honestly, you can joke about it. That's going to cause issues.
I think you can't joke about it, yeah?
Yeah. You can joke about it, but on this comedy podcast, I choose not to. You can joke about it, but I'll save that for my other podcasts. I have to do it every day. I'm knackered.
No, you can joke about it, but that's going to be, in all seriousness, that's going to cause issues. It's all right to do one or two little looks, and then it'll be too much. So, are they doomed? Their relationship's doomed? Maybe.
I think, gorge yourself now. Get all your looking in. And I think that generally...
That doesn't work.
No.
But attractiveness is... Attractiveness is not... Yeah, exactly. It's moorish.
I think you get used to attractive people. If you've got like really attractive friends or whatever, after a while you kind of stop thinking of them like
12
that.
Years, Clarky. 12 years.
There you
do
go.
Do a podcast with them. See if it wears off.
Wears off and you're just like, oh, that's Tom. That's
it's
not,
a bit,
you know.
It's a bit like when you have a song stuck in your head and they say, listen to the song and then it'll get rid of it from being in your head. Do you think... We can wank through this problem, I think, is what we're saying. Could you wank yourself out of the obsession? And I think you
are you talking about this lady?
Yeah.
This is your advice to say, just keep wanking about this person until you don't want to wank about them anymore.
I hate that she might have done that as well.
Then it take your system.
I mean,
you've got, what have you got? A few months. Plenty of...
We're not talking about your wife, David.
Might as well be.
You're very insecure. I feel like your problems are the problems that need to be solved rather than the problems of Anonymous. They've got quite a jolly life looking over the fence at a guy in some speedos.
God, I think I am now.
You've fallen apart at this. You know, this has unravelled you.
I don't mind, like, I get it, you know. There's some lovely men out there worth having a look at, but I don't want him next door braiding it around. He knows what he's doing.
He's getting a gorgeous year-round tan.
Also, you're out in those UV rays. You're not going to stay young forever. It's going to age you. A couple of years' time, it's going to look like a handbag. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Are you recommending that he put creams himself up though? Because that'll make it worse.
Yeah, slather
just
himself.
Just trying to get a bit.
Maybe help him. Maybe help him cream up.
Those difficult to reach areas. Do you want to talk about something, David? Because I feel like you're I feel like you know, we're normally what we do after we've solved some beefs, we sort of chat to you about a beef you've got with your partner, but I feel like the beef really comes from within.
I'm just trying to imagine being in that. I move in and suddenly there's that in the garden. I'm like, he looks, I know he looks terrific and I don't look particularly brilliant at the moment. And
the worst thing is we all have an image of who that person is in our heads.
Oh, like, totally.
The guy in the speedos over the fence, we've all got a version of who that person is.
He's mid-50s in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he looks like Tom Selleck. You know those pictures of Tom Selleck? All the chest hair. Gorgeous tan, little speedo.
Because the speedo's sort of given away. He might be a little bit older. It's not.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. I've got Silver Fox in my head. That's
and women like older men.
Lies,
don't they?
Lies.
Do you know Tom Jones when he's in the red phone box? At
Tom
the
Jones
of his
in the phone box. That is a perfect reference.
My,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
My wife's dream man. That's my wife's dream man. He's got a full head of hair.
Oh no!
Hairy chest, gold.
Gorgeous
chain.
Bod.
God, Jay, there's three things you'll just never have.
Never. And a can of pop from the co-op. He's drinking a can of pop from the co-op. He didn't even think twice about buying it. He's Tom Jones.
What if maybe they're both getting to him?
Yeah. That's
it. You can't beat him.
Hop over the fence and join him.
Is this about you and the farm? Is this you and the farmer again?
Oh well.
Also,
here's another
genuine thing that might happen. Chat to him, and it might actually get, because it feels like a very physical thing that's going on. Yeah. Quite often, once you get to know someone, more often than not, that's the biggest turn off, isn't it? Is finding out what a person's
people's
actually
personalities.
Like.
Yeah. It's or very, he's got a terrible breath or something. Yeah. It's just
He's going to be boring and stuff like that. And so, if you get to know him, that might help.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, he's going to become this fantasy figure.
That's a good idea. But what if he's got a super personality?
If he's got a super personality and you're that attracted to him, I genuinely think you should engineer a situation where you try and have him and steal him and run off with him, because he could be the one for you. Like, if you're that attracted to him and his personality absolutely sings, what are you messing around with? You know, go for him.
This reminds me of Indecent Proposal with Robert Redford.
Now we're talking. Here we go.
Now we're talking.
This is what rich people are saving up for. This is why they don't normally put their hands in their pockets.
That's what Oswald's up to. Is it Oswald? Maybe it's Oswald.
Maybe he's is he loaded? He's absolutely gorgeous and wears a Speedo like no one else. Well.
I didn't think anyone was attracted to anyone in Speedos.
I just think it's a learning moment for me. You've not seen the right guy.
Honestly. I saw a bloke in Rhodes Island.
Yeah, not standing.
I don't know if this is a bit naughty, a little bit sexy.
Okay, let's have a bit sexy.
Let's talk.
He was wearing bronze body. I think I'm remembering this correctly. He had Speedos on.
Yeah.
He had a willy.
Right.
In his Speedos?
In his hand. No, he had a willy that went from the centre of his groin across his leg, across his hip, his leg.
Yeah.
Came out the side of his pelvis.
No!
So it's a sort of, I don't know what I'm remembering now, so that doesn't make sense.
He must have been erect, right? Surely.
A ribbon tied round the bit that stuck out.
What?
He had a ribbon tied around his helmet on his Speedo.
That doesn't work. That doesn't even work, does it, as a thing? I've told loads of people that. It doesn't work.
How old were you?
17. 18.
Holds up.
Well, the ribbon tied around his head.
When I was 7, me and my sister saw a lobster crawl up out the garden in the middle. We were in Wolverhampton. We saw a lobster crawl out the soil in our garden, and we know we saw it, and we've told everyone, and no one believes us. But we saw a lobster crawl out of our, come up through the soil and walk off.
Could it have been a lobster in his Speedos? Could it actually?
You know, that deserves more time and a little bit. That's a crazy little story Tom's just come out with.
It is, yeah.
And now we're taking it seriously.
Well, it's because we've heard this story so many times. Every episode, he works around talking about how he fucking saw a lobster, which he never fucking saw, coming out the garden.
I don't know if you've listened to Dave's Exeter City podcast, but it's the same for that knob story. every episode, a little bow on the end.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got Barnsley at the weekend. What are our chips?
I saw a lobster come out the soil.
Yeah. And we both did.
We both did, he means no, neither of us.
What colour was it?
It was pink, like a lobster.
You see, there's your first problem. Lobsters are never, they're only pink when they're cooked.
Well, there you go. Then it was a cooked lobster.
Is it even more unusual?
it wasn't in the sea, was it? So he came up out of the soil.
He just jumped out of the pan.
When he ran it in, may, he said, I mean, just seen a lobster.
Your house did back onto a seafood restaurant, didn't it? Constantly you were seeing a halibut flopping along the lawn, going, save me!
Very, very posh chippy.
But anyway, I was thinking if you were below 10, it might have been that kind of situation. But 17, you're
yeah.
You're
I don't even know what you saw now. Mm. I'm never ever going to tell that story again.
So, have we got any advice for our friend? Tom's advice is. It's quite strong advice, actually, Tom. It's a two-pronged attack. If wanking about them doesn't help, then run away with them.
Get to know them.
Oh, yeah,
wank about them, then get to know them. If their personality is as good as what you see, then actually go for broke. You only live once, mate.
Yeah.
Mine is just be careful.
Yeah.
Genuinely, just be careful.
Just think about who's at home, you know. Just think about the hearts you might be breaking.
Just be careful. About,
yeah, but you can't make an omelette without breaking a few eggs, can you?
That's a good point.
This guy's a tasty omelette.
Beef solved.
Big breakfast.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved. So, David, it feels like we've sort of unpicked some scabs throughout the course of this episode, but was there a problem that you'd like us to solve that is currently troubling you in your living situation? It could be with the kids, it could be with your partner, it could be with your neighbours. I mean, you've talked about all of them, so that we know there's issues there, but what's the one you'd like us to solve?
The one that I immediately went to was watching my children grow up and realising that death's just around the corner.
Yeah, right, yeah, it's a biggie, isn't it? It's a biggie.
So you got 12 mins. So let's sort this one out.
Let's sort this problem out. Is that the kind of dad you are? Because I know some other dads who are like that. I don't think I am that kind of dad. My wife is definitely that kind of person, where she's very aware of the passing of time, and the separation. Yep. You know, the incredible intimacy of motherhood and, you know, early motherhood through to eventually, you know, them disappearing out of your life.
My wife's aware of the passing of time when she's ogling other men. Like, bloody hell, was that 20 minutes? I've just been staring at that guy over there, his hench. Yeah, am I right? Yeah.
But that's you. Parry, what are you like? Are you that kind of person?
Never used to be, I'm now.
Are you?
Yeah. Never used to be. Yeah. Now it paralyses me in the evenings. Because
does it really?
Yes!
It was like you were speaking from inside me when you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never used to give a fig about it.
Because they never warn you that that's their last cuddle. They won't warn you.
No. Just one day you'll be like,
What age are we talking about for you now? How old are the kids?
Well, my eldest is 21, but they're nearly 8 and nearly 6.
Right.
So,
when was the last time you cuddled the 21-year-old? You must have given him a little.
I cuddle him.
Yeah, you must give him a little cuddle. Yeah.
I'm very touchy. Very touchy.
You just put a tent under his pillow, aren't you? Better late than never, son.
Yeah. No, I like a good cuddle. Yeah.
So what's this last cuddle that you're worried about? You're talking about the last cuddle you give before you die.
No, well, there's that, but it's the last cuddle they give.
Oh, I see. So you may be cuddling your son.
The last time they sit on your shoulders, or you have to pick them up and take them to the bed.
I tell you what, as a small, weak man, I can't wait for them to not sit on my shoulders. at the moment, it's like 26 degrees in the evening during the nursery run. And if Cleo comes out and goes, can I walk home on your shoulders? I mean, come on. No way. I'm dying over here. I'm still going to come home and make dinner. I've not got the energy for that.
You'll miss that. Like...
Okay. Every time it doesn't happen, I'm delighted. So I can't imagine a time in the future where I'm like, oh, I wish it was happening now.
Yeah.
But I do totally get totally get what you mean. But don't you love the fact that now you've got a 21-year-old who can be like a friend, a mate to you? That's, you know, you've just got to accentuate the positives of every phase of life.
No, you do. You have got to. And I really like this stage. Teenage stage was horrendous.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I really like this stage now. And sort of wondering what my role is when they're 20, 21. Quite know what I should be doing.
Cash?
Cash?
Yeah. Well, are you Bank of Dad? Is that, yeah.
I was going to say, still losing his teeth.
How are your teeth? Yeah. Got to have my wisdom teeth out. Yeah, that'll cost me a pretty penny, I bet.
Yeah. How old are your children?
One is going to be 4 next month, and the other one is nearly 2. So, okay. Yeah, they're proper little kids.
Yeah.
Mine's 3 in September, and the other night we said, well, you're going to sleep on your own tonight because you're getting bigger now. So mummy's going to, you know, we're going to put you to bed and then you're going to sleep on your own because you're getting bigger. And after about 40 minutes, she just looked at us both and said, I don't want to get bigger. And just started to cry and was like, I just want to stay like this. Oh. And me and Jane were just like, oh my God. Like, we're just both just like, fucking hell.
Can I just say now, I said the same thing when I was 3. And
careful what you wish for.
The wind changed. Honestly, I've never regretted a statement more. Oh my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, heavens above. Just
absolutely cut me to the quick.
And I'll tell you what, they think I'm fantastic at the moment.
Oh, there you go.
Everything I do, they think is brilliant.
They look at you like your wife looks at the neighbours.
Yeah.
And it is.
They do. Yeah, they total want admiration. Genuinely, they want to kiss my bum in the mornings. Ooh, where's that bum?
So you're kissing the door frame, they're kissing your bum. Your wife's kissing the neighbour.
No one can work out why the family's always ill.
Yeah. That's it, really. It's just a passing of time, guys.
You know what? Unfortunately, I mean, you know, the beef brothers are pretty good, but there's some beefs we can never solve. And the passing of time and the spectre of death, I mean, it's beyond us. So this is the first time we're going to have to say, sorry, it's not beef solved. Yeah, tough. It feels, what a sting.
Wonderful little moment, that.
We have to stick in a big breakfast.
Big breakfast. Just for morale.
David, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Where can people see what you're up to? Obviously, there's Chatterbix. Wherever you get your podcasts, that's the podcast you do with the daily podcast you do with Joe Wilkinson.
Yeah,
Where are you on Twitch? Where can people find you on Twitch?
David Earl. Just really embarrassed.
Why are you embarrassed?
Yeah, David Earl on Twitch. Yeah.
What are you up to on Twitch?
I play a lot of sport.
I've seen you play cricket on Twitch before now.
Yeah.
It's good fun.
Cricket, football, golf, I'm your man. If you want to see little computer men play sport, you're looking at the right guy.
Well, David, I wish you a world of success with your Twitch channel. I'm sorry to drag you away from it tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, total pleasure. Thanks for coming on. See you very soon, man. Thanks for doing this.
It's been a total pleasure.
It's been
it truly has
a genuine pleasure.
A real pleasure for all three of us.
Thank you, guys. Same here. Thank you. From the sorting out
your beef. There you go. What a treat. David Earl, friend and neighbour.
What a good guy. I really enjoyed having him on the podcast.
Really lovely. Being in his company and with him staring into the void.
Yes, of course. Of course. It got, you know what? It started in a sort of ushered in a new era of maturity for the Beef Brothers. We're talking about big topics. You know, we were literally discussing life and death. Yeah.
I was about to say we're brothers no longer. We're now men. But then I realised brothers also
can be men. Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Beef uncles?
Beefuncle's sorting out your beef.
Yeah, Simon and Beefuncle here.
Beefuncle to each other, guys.
Beefuncle to one another. Listen, guys, if you learn nothing from this episode, is that if you see a fellow Beefuncle, Beefuncle to them. Right, we've got to stop this now. Don't forget to join the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flat Share, for getting a bonus episode. And very exciting bonus episode, all about the Masked Singer, as Clarky teased there. Something to get on the Patreon. And of course, please do email us with your beefs, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And most of all, just have a wonderful life
until it's over.
Don't think about death. Today's
episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Stop thinking about death.
Caution team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.